How does that feel, that title right there, Dave?
That's a lot of words coming out of my mouth. Well, I'm very excited and humbled to be the commissioner, and it's something I never thought would ever happen to me. I started out coaching, and I was one of those parents that stood behind the fence offering suggestions and thoughts to the coaches on the field, and they looked at me and they said, if you think this is so easy, why don't you come on our side of the fence? And so I did, and of course it's a totally different perspective, and takes a little more thought, and I learned a lot of respect for the profession as far as, you know, what coaches have to do, how they teach, how they treat the kids, the families, the responsibilities that you have to your team. So it was a big growth time for me when I first started. And I really tried to, my whole coaching career, to learn, keep learning, because talk to other coaches, go to coaches' clinics, always trying to keep myself educated on new ideas and new things to bring to the team to keep them interested, and new ideas on how to play the game and strategies and things like that.
So has it always been softball, and specifically girls softball?
Yeah, my daughter played.
Is it just because of your daughter?
Yeah, she played for an Oregon City team, and that's where I started with the Oregon City Bullets. And then they disbanded, and we went to the Nightmare, and I stayed involved with Oregon City Nightmare for over 20 years.
What's that?
Well, it was a travel team. And
like a club team?
Yeah, a club team.
For teenage, young teenagers?
Yeah, so we started at, we were playing 18s. And
So these girls are legit athletes, aren't they?
Yeah, really good, yeah. And we had a lot of great players come through the program over the years and went on to play in college. And my daughter played at CCC for 2 years and then went to play at University of Puget Sound. And so it was exciting to watch that process and watch her develop as a person and a player and a person. And but it's seen the same with a lot of other kids too that have played in the Nightmare program.
I want to talk about, you know, your new position and that kind of thing, but the sport itself I think is phenomenal. It's such an exciting, unique sport, and you see it on TV sometimes, like the women's college softball World Series is riveting. How is the game of softball different from the game of baseball?
Well, the speed of the game is faster. You know, the base paths are shorter, the pitching distance is shorter, so the reaction times are shorter. The ball comes off the plate just as hard as it does with a baseball, and you have got to be aware of what you're going to do and how you're going to do it. And you've watched the College World Series, and you've seen some fantastic players out there on the field. But that's what I love about softball is the speed of the game. It's you have to be at the top of your game as far as your thoughts and your athleticism.
Yeah. It's a little league field, right? Mm-hmm. So it's not 90, 60,
right,
which is full major league. So what is it, about 45 feet, 42 feet or something?
We pitch at 43 for 14, 16s, and 18s. Mm-hmm. And then the base paths are 60 feet.
60 feet, mm-hmm. Okay. And the pitcher for a softball team can easily go an entire game, if not more. Can you describe, from an athletic standpoint, what's involved in the circle as a pitcher for softball?
A lot of it's mental. The mental part of the pitcher is key to the success of any team and their attitude and how they approach the game. Certainly skill is also in the same category, but the pitchers are the type of player that works. You have to work at that craft all year round, and to be at the top of your game when the season starts. We've had a lot of pitchers that were also multi-sport athletes, which helps, to me, it helps them get away from that softball mind and refresh so that they don't burn out. I've seen a lot of girls get to the end of their pitching career in high school and not want to pitch anymore, not go on.
Really? Because it's too, it's, because you're carrying the team on your shoulders for too long?
It's just that they were done.
I mean, okay.
You know, they're playing all summer, playing all through high school, and, you know, it's a big commitment.
Yeah, it is.
And some of them are done, and some of them want to go on and work harder. So.
Uh-huh. We're talking with Dave Idlehart, who's the new commissioner of USA Softball of Oregon. When it comes to the camaraderie of a team, that's what athletes and coaches and everyone else, that's what everyone really misses, I think, is the togetherness and the interaction with your teammates. Can you tell us again how softball is maybe just a little bit different? There seems to be just such a tight kinship with teams and team members and these young ladies. Can you put a price on that and describe it? You're talking about a tight family, aren't you?
And good teams will have good team chemistry, and that's sometimes is key to choosing a player to join your team, is how well they fit into that chemistry too. It was really nice when I was appointed commissioner that I had a lot of my past players come on and congratulate me, and you know, I've maintained contact with a lot of them over the years. Some of them as far back as 2003, my first teams that I was coaching, that you know, their kids are playing softball now. And that's a scary thought. But each team, each season is different. And you have, as a coach, you have to look at how everybody's going to fit together. And as a coach, you have to kind of help them develop that chemistry and that camaraderie too.
How do you handle different personalities and different positions? Not everyone can be a pitcher. Not everyone can be a first baseman, mm-hmm. right? You got a shortstop. You got a catcher who's kind of, you know, behind the plate, essentially controlling a lot of the game. Mm-hmm. But kids want to evolve, and they want to get better, and they want to try different things. How do you work that out when it comes to the lineup and the positions they play and their quote-unquote pecking order?
Well, the thing is that my philosophy was to develop players at different positions. So, you know, I always told players that after you leave high school or after you leave our travel team, you might get to college and that coach doesn't want you at third base, even though you're a first team all-league third baseman. They might see that you are a better fit for their team at a different position. So the best thing that you can do is to learn the game from each position, and that gives you a better perspective of the game. And that's why these college players are all so great when you go to the World Series and see them play, is that they understand the game, and that perspective is not just unique, and that perspective is unique to each position.
Mm-hmm. How do you handle practices? What's your basic philosophy? I'm sure you want to keep everyone engaged, things moving. You know, baseball, softball can sometimes be a little bit boring.
Yeah.
A lot of times you're standing around. It's not basketball. It's not soccer. It's not constant motion type of sport. It's more of a thinking man or thinking woman's type of sport. How do you handle practices?
So you have to plan your practices out. And there were times that with different teams, I would time practices. If I felt that the team was lagging, not hustling, I would have a written out time schedule from 3:30 to 3:45. We're doing our dynamic stretching, and then we put a clock out there so everybody knew what was next and how long it took them to get it done. So from 3:45 to 4:05, we're doing a throwing progression, getting our arms warmed up. So, I mean, that
boom, boom, yeah. boom, stations, all that yep. kinds of thing. Yeah,
stations.
So it's pre-planning.
Yes, pre-planning is the key. Mm-hmm. To keeping your players engaged.
You were the coach of Oregon City, right? For
yeah.
how many years, Dave?
17 years as head coach.
At the high school. That's fantastic. Right here, right now, 2022, mm-hmm. what are some of the first things you think about for that career?
Well, I certainly miss being on the field.
Yeah.
It was so exciting to be on the field, and game time is the best time, and that's the biggest thing that I miss. Of course, all the players, but I mean, I miss being on the field and that camaraderie that you have with your players, too.
It's hard to replicate that type of butterflies and competition. You just can't get it elsewhere unless you compete, right?
Right. That's true.
Yeah. yeah. Some of the ladies that stand out for you, give me like one or two rock stars that you remember, even if they haven't developed into, maybe they didn't take their softball career further, but when they played for you, man, they shined.
Well, I mean, there's a whole long list of girls that,
ready, go.
That were just, I mean, I don't know where I would start with that because it wouldn't be fair to somebody.
Okay.
But, I mean, we've had players that were multi-sport players. I'll tell you, Taylor Belmont was a four-sport athlete. She was the place kicker on the football team. she played soccer. She all-state basketball player. And then she was an all-state softball player. She was the driving force behind our first drive to some league championships with her. She was a hustler. She had the best attitude as far as getting everybody motivated and keeping that team energized. But I've had some strong, solid players over the year, some big bats that have just been amazing. Zoe Iverson, she was a catcher and a DP for us, and that kid hit the ball so hard, it was scary. And then Morgan Hornback, who's a senior at Texas Tech, she's pitcher for us and led us to two state semifinal championships. We didn't get past that, but she's the only person I know that her last at bat in high school was a home run, and her first at bat in college was a home run.
Wow. But in softball, I mean, you play small ball. You also play for the big ball, right? Mm-hmm. Or the home run. Chicks dig the long ball. I'm sure you've heard that. You know, you got the slap hitters, which is something you don't necessarily have in baseball. You probably attack it from a X's and O's standpoint every year, probably a fresh slate. And you take the talent that you have and you see what you're good at and you try to win in different ways.
You use the preseason to kind of determine your strongest lineup. And then it also depends on who you're playing, too. Mm. Other teams have different defenses as far as a weaker outfield, or maybe you see a weaker spot in the infield or something. So you play your game a little bit different against each team, just like you would pitch to them. You don't pitch to every batter the same. So you kind of learn the teams in your league and how strong they are, and you have to set your lineup to compete against that.
One thing I've always wanted to know, Dave, that my son Keenan, you know, he's a freshman. He's a pretty darn good baseball player, athlete. We enjoy watching sports, participating, and so forth. You know, we see that rise ball, you know, ESPN, you'll hear the commentators with that rise ball. The accuracy that these pitchers have with the underhand pitch, can you describe how that's done? How you get movement on an underhand pitch, whether you want it up or down or in or out, and breaking balls and fastballs? How does that work underhand?
So I'm not a pitching coach by any means, but I can tell you it has to do with the grip, the way you grip the ball, the way you spin the ball, and the release of the ball. The rise ball is brutal. you know, I'd have the pitchers pitch to me sometimes just to, so I could see the pitch coming in and recognize it. And, you know, that ball, the inside curve is scary too, because it usually pushes you off the plate and then it goes right over the middle for a strike, so, or the inside corner. So it's
practice, practice, practice.
Yeah, and it's and that's why, you know, it's all about using your pitches against what you see the batter is doing. Catchers, sometimes we'd have a catcher call the game. So from the coach from the sideline, all you can see is up and down, and you can't see in and out. So you kind of team up with your catcher to figure out the best way to attack each batter.
Nice. We're talking with Dave Adelhart, commissioner now of USA Softball in Oregon. Let's talk about that. You have the pedigree. You have the experience. You've coached for many years. You certainly know the game of softball. I'm guessing that this new position is an integration of that and the administrative side. So what's your main role? How did you get there? And what are your main duties day to day? And how do you plan on launching this?
I got involved with USA Softball, of course, as a coach. I volunteered to help out as a district commissioner to help sign rosters. And once I did that for a couple years, I got invited to be on the board as a player rep. And so I joined the board of directors. And then a year later, I was appointed the Junior Olympic Commissioner, the JO Commissioner. And the JO Commissioner's job is to help coordinate all the registration and the tournaments in the state. Portland Metro is its own association, where Oregon has all the rest of the state. I worked on helping teams get registered, solving problems with registration, answering insurance questions, coaches' discipline, things like that. also help put the tournament schedule, coordinating that with the umpires to make sure we have coverages, make sure the umpires can cover those tournaments. This year we have about 41 tournaments on the schedule. It's down from 51 pre-COVID just because of we don't have the personnel umpire-wise. Our umpire numbers are down. And if I could put out that we are really interested in recruiting umpires, I mean, certainly
so noted.
Could do it. Umpires are an important part of our game, and without them, we can't have the game. So, and we supply two-man mechanics versus single man because we feel that that's keeps the game, that's a little more integrity to the game. It's hard for a guy working behind the plate to watch the throws down at second. So, there are certain circumstances where we'll use single man at the younger ages, but for all our older kids, it's two-man mechanics. It costs more. So
it does. That is a whole other topic, isn't it?
Yeah.
Officials in the state of Oregon and sometimes making $30 a game or whatever it is, you know, underpaid, they really hear it.
Oh, and they,
they hear it from parents and coaches and so forth. So as far as the USA Softball of Oregon, what does that mean? Like, is there one in every state and you guys are working together toward the Olympics, or is it just junior focused?
Oh, no, we register anywhere from 900 to this last year, adult teams. Playing slow pitch across the state. We were at a high before COVID of about 1,200 adult teams.
Okay, and these aren't just top shelf females. This is people of, you know, playing softball?
Yep.
Okay.
So we zero from 0 to 80. I mean, we have men's teams, slow pitch teams out there, 75 and older, that are out there playing the game. They have tournaments for them. I mean, they have all different age groups across the board. So the adult program is really big. A lot of park and recs will host leagues, and a lot of leagues will register on their own all across the state, from down in Ashland all the way out to Pendleton and down to the coast.
And do you just basically oversee them? Are you a governing body or what?
We are the national governing body of softball as designated by the U.S. Olympic Committee. And because of that, we have certain requirements that we have to follow. All our umpires for youth are background check, and they take safe sports lessons and concussion training.
Sure.
The concussion training is state of Oregon requirement.
Yeah.
But the safe sports and the background check are requirements of the U.S. Olympic Committee. And all our coaches do that, too. And that's done every year. It's not just done once or twice.
Right, right.
So it helps us keep our programs safe. Parents can rest assured that the coaches that are working their kids are background checked. And they have an idea of what's going on as far as safe sports. And the safe sports lessons have to do with sexual misconduct and awareness and education, mandatory reporting, and physical and emotional misconduct. The safety of the players has got to be tantamount as far as having a program. We're a nonprofit. We're not in this for the money. None of our board takes any money.
Are you compensated?
Volunteers. Pardon?
Are you compensated for your position?
No, nope.
It's volunteer.
It's all volunteer. So,
Well, thank you for your service. I wasn't aware that it was a, you know, because nonprofits doesn't necessarily mean that you're not.
That's true.
You don't get a salary.
There are some associations out there that compensate their commissioners, and I'm going to say right now we're not one of them.
Okay.
I'm not going to say that couldn't happen in the future, not necessarily with me, but with another commissioner either.
Maybe a stipend or something.
Yeah.
Some gas money, whatever.
Yeah. Well, we reimburse for expenses. So.
Okay. Okay, good.
Yeah.
Are you working toward any event of the year, or is it just essentially a season where I'm guessing you have multiple seasons, maybe mini seasons or different types. I don't know. How's that work? Are you working towards any apex?
Well, on a given year?
We
have our state championships that begin at the end of the June and the first two weekends in July. That's kind of like the highlight of our season.
Okay.
And so our tournaments will start in April of this year. We play at all different levels, 10, 12, 14, 16, 18. The 16s and 18s and the higher level 14s usually don't start until June when school's out or when high school ball's over.
Uh-huh.
Their season kind of rolls through to the end of July. The 10s and 12s will roll through till the middle of July right in there. And then there's some Western championships that they can go play at, national tournaments too.
Yeah.
Across the country. So, and then we have a pretty good few tournaments in the fall.
Fall ball.
Mm-hmm, yeah, fall ball. And our function as USA Softball of Oregon is to sanction those tournaments. We don't put them on or to raise money or anything. The only tournaments we do put on are the state championships. But most of our other tournaments are hosted by a park and rec, which they partner with their local convention CBB board and to help bring in local money to the local economy and local businesses.
Yeah,
and,
I'm familiar. Having a youth who's come through the, you know, the club level, starting, I don't know, played Little League baseball, and then on into some club level. So there is a lot, you know, you talk about the venues, the officials, the fields themselves. I mean, there's a lot going into, not to mention the weather, Mother Nature. You know, being an outdoor sport, you're constantly having to deal with that. Do we have any good artificial turf venues around here?
A lot of the high schools are now turfed. They're so expensive to use.
Yeah.
The city of Medford has a beautiful park down there that hosts tournaments down there. We're going to host our 16A, 16B state tournament down there this year. And then they're also hosting the 12A, 16A Western Nationals at the end of July. But it's a beautiful facility. We did lose the park over here in by Clackamas High School.
Okay.
That's all going to go back to the school district. So, but I would love to see some turf parks up here, but it's just, yeah. I don't think it's in anybody's budget right now.
Yeah. I mean, I've been out there with tarps the night before,
mm-hmm.
various products to try and dry up.
Yep.
You know, the batter's box and the pitching mound and the base pass,
yep.
You know, and you just go from there. There is a limit, I suppose, where you can't play. It is Portland, Oregon.
Yep.
And a lot of times we deal with mud. And when games get called, it's usually because of an unplayable field. Is that right?
Yeah, that's correct.
Yeah.
Safety of the players is very important to us. So, you know, anytime you see somebody slipping out there,
yeah.
or twisting in the batter's box, or the mud's cleating up in their shoes and stuff, and they become slippery, then it becomes a hazard. So once the game starts, it's the umpires that make that call, and the coaches are out of it. Before the game, you know, the coaches could probably call the game, the host of the fields, and I'm saying high school. Usually a tournament director for USA Softball would make the call at a tournament that the fields aren't playable before the game, but if the game starts, the umpires have control.
There's a certain feeling that baseball fans get, and there's a smell in the air, isn't it? When spring training starts, the other seasons sort of end, and you hear that first pop, you know, of playing catch. That's got to make your heart pound.
Oh, yeah.
Are you ready for this will be your first year, right, in this role?
Mm-hmm.
Many years in the sport, in various roles, including skipper. So what's it going to be like for you this spring and moving into your first season?
So we are looking at not only hosting or sanctioning all our tournaments, but we're looking at putting together, we also work with Region 9, which is Oregon, Washington, Seattle, Portland, Alaska, Montana, Idaho, and Wyoming, and Utah, to host a 12U All-American team that we take back to Oklahoma City and play in the Hall of Fame Stadium. We take two teams every year. And so we're very involved with selection of those teams. And so we'll be starting those tryouts probably in April. And we go back in August. And every team gets to play in that Hall of Fame stadium where they host the College World Series. That's an awesome experience. There's two from the region.
Two from the region, okay.
Yeah, so each association gets to pick so many players to be on the team.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's blend them together, but the best teams together that you can and fly off to Oklahoma and go play. So it's only 24 team tournament, and there's like 360 girls across the country that participate. So it's really become quite an honor and quite a program for the kids. And it's increased in popularity. This is its sixth year, I think.
Cool. So,
and then we also have a new program that is a pipeline to the U.S. Olympic team. It's called the HPP, the High Performance Program. What you do is you run the kids through a series of predetermined tests, skills tests, and they will be evaluated by former Olympic players, former college players, not done by local coaches. And then they're placed, if they make the grade, they're placed on a regional team, and that regional team will go play other regions and for a chance to go try out for the national women's national team. And then we have a new program, too, called Play Ball, which is set up through the National Council of Mayors and Minor League Baseball, where they supply all the equipment for a clinic for kids that have never played before. And they'll give them a T-shirt and a little plastic bat and ball. And I think there's six stations set up so that they learn different fundamentals, from base running to swinging a bat. You get volunteers to, the demonstration I saw had Oklahoma State players demonstrating the skills for the kids. And we feel that we have a tremendous opportunity for that program, too, to try to bring back softball. Our numbers are down.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It's been declining for a few years, and COVID didn't help.
But yeah.
We want to re-energize that. So that's kind of like some of the things that the new board is looking to do, in addition to all the other things that we do. We do offer three scholarships a year for seniors that USA Softball puts on. You know, so and we offer, there's a Coach of the Year award, there's a Player of the Year, and then we have an Umpire award that we give out every year,
yeah.
too.
A full plate, for sure. So you have a lot of balls in the air. Are you pretty organized? I know you from way
we'll
back in the
out.
Day.
We'll find out.
You have you're part of a team, just like a yep. just like a softball team.
And that's kind of the way this new board is looking. We wanted to develop a little more of a team concept. And so I've expanded the board from its previous setup to bring in different perspectives and new ideas. And I'm really excited about that. So I think that's going to really help USA Softball of Oregon progress in the future.
Great. What do you want, you know, all of our KXL listeners and Alpha Media, who I work for, my parent company? So you'll be on, you know, The Bowl, Kink, 750 The Game, our sports station, all these stations. You know, what do you want the regular moms and dads and fans, who peripheral fans, who might catch a little bit, like I was talking about, on TV, on ESPN or something, mm-hmm. and find an interest? What do you want them to know about the state of softball here in Oregon?
Well, I'd like to see them out at the parks. I mean, watching the game and feel the excitement that we have playing this game. And I think that's the best part of softball, is excitement of the game, the cheers from the teams and the girls in the dugouts, and and the adults when they play. I played slow pitch for a few years, and that camaraderie out there on the fields and stuff, and the banter back and forth, and it was a lot of fun. And I think that's the big message right there. Softball is a lot of fun, and you can take your kids out there and picnic at the park and watch some games, and maybe, you know, your kids will grow up and play baseball and softball, and mm-hmm. you can go back to playing slow pitch. And like I said, we have players from 8 to 80. So.
Yeah, it's a life sport, isn't it? Just like golf.
It could be.
You know, softball.
Yeah.
Congratulations on your position, Dave.
Thank you.
It seems like we got the right guy in the right spot.
Thank you.
You know, for this really exciting sport. So thank you for being with me.
All right. Thank you, Brett.